gather around. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Bitch, you guess it. I'm still with my nigga. Come and test us.
Week 6 is here. Once again, the NFL is back, and so are we to discuss this week's matchups. I have to say it was a pretty bad week for me when looking at the matchups. I pretty much guaranteed Martellus Bennett would be a bad start for Brandon, and he goes and gets 3 TDs for the Browns, so I looked like a big old fool watching the games on Sunday. Meanwhile, my team was just not scoring, puts up the low for the week, and matches and locks myself in as the second lowest score of the season by 0.8 points ahead of Andrew's 77 that he had in week 5. Down in the dumps and swinging through the swamps, I welcome in Jordan and his 1-4 Mike Wallace and Gromit team back onto the Semi Products podcast. How you doing, Jordan?
Hey, Rick. I am doing wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty dandy. So last Tuesday, we made a trade, Jeremy Maclin for Will Fuller and Terrence West. Actually, the first time ever I've sent one offer and it's been accepted like that. It really scared me and it made me think I messed up. But what did you think of that offer? How do you think that trade worked out for us?
I loved it for myself. For everybody listening, after the trade went through, Rick actually texted me going, "Wait a second, did I just screw up, like, super bad? What's going on? Why did you accept my trade just right off the bat?" Because that probably took me, like, 40 minutes or something to accept it. Anyways, it was, like, a perfect trade for me, to be honest. I've been looking to move Maclin as kind of, like, I still think he's good, and I think he's going to be fine for the rest of the season, but he was kind of, like, my expendable receiver who has, you know, some amount of value. So I had been looking to move him for an RB2 for the last, like, probably a couple weeks here. Hasn't really worked out just because nobody wants to give up running backs. There's so many injuries and stuff that it's been hard. So, I mean, I'm pretty psyched about getting Terrence West back in that trade just because, I mean, he's been putting up really good numbers the last couple weeks. The Ravens just fired their offensive coordinator, citing the reason that they wanted to run the ball more. So I'm just kind of crossing my fingers that they think Terrence West is the guy rather than Kenneth Dixon. That's yet to be seen, but I mean, I needed to take a chance to get an RB2 in my lineup. And I mean, regardless of if Dixon gets involved or not, he's a better option as of right now than Jalen Richard, who was going to be my RB2. And I mean, Fuller, I'm pretty psyched about like being able to get a wide receiver back that I can definitely have in my starting lineup most weeks. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the trade, but I'm still pretty high on Fuller, to be honest with you. I just thought he had a bad week last week with
– Oh, yeah.
It was a disastrous week with Osweiler going against the Vikings. But almost everybody that's gone up against the Vikings has put up bad numbers.
Yep.
Anyways, I'm kind of interested to see your reasoning behind that all.
Well, I looked at your team, and when we played, Maclin was on a bye. I think you had sent me him offers for him before. So I looked at his matchup, Raiders this week. New Orleans the week after that, pretty favorable schedule down the road for Kansas City. I don't think that they're sticking to the run all too much where the pass game really isn't an option, even though in the past I've really knocked Alex Smith and the Chiefs for not throwing the ball. So that may come back and bite me in the butt. But I kind of thought I had to sell high on Terrence West. He had 2 pretty solid weeks, even when the Ravens were struggling, put up like 20 and then 9 or something like that. And I thought, you know what, Jordan needs a running back. I kind of need a better receiver. And while Will Fuller definitely struggled against the Vikings, as everyone has struggled against the Vikings, I was kind of starting to think maybe if he would be a sell high target or sell, you know, buy low, sell high kind of thing. I wasn't really sure. I didn't like having 3 rookies on my team, along with Michael Thomas. And I just feel like in the Saints offense, that ball is going to get spread around more, where Osweiler is probably now going to start throwing to DeAndre Hopkins more, and I wasn't too sure what was going to happen to Fuller. I also didn't think that you would do Terrence West for Jeremy Maclin straight up, so I figured I should throw someone in of not too high a value, but definitely someone that makes that trade worth it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I don't know if I probably wouldn't have done it for Terrence West straight up, but I was excited to get Fuller back as part of that. Real quick here, I know you're probably trying to dive into the Astros, but I got a couple things for you.
Yep.
I got a couple little segments here, or something, just things to talk about before we go into it, because I know you're usually trying to just get into it. But all right, so I noticed I was listening back on one of the old episodes, and I mean, you were telling us this weekend about how, you know, this podcast has gone global and people all across the country are listening to it now, you know,
right,
in all parts of the country. So I was noticing when you introduce yourself, you call yourself Nick Rogers, and we all call you Rick when we're talking to you on the phone. Don't you think that's going to confuse the people?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. I haven't gotten any complaints, so there's that.
Yeah. Okay. I was kind of thinking that it could be like, you could be sort of like, it's either like, one's your normal name and one's your like alter ego. What I'm comparing it to is like, this is basically, since you're the commissioner of the league, you're like the president of the league. I was trying to use Obama as an example. So basically, I'm thinking of Nick Rogers as the clean-cut looking guy, you know, puts on a nice suit and tie and goes out and has to talk, you know, on behalf of the people. And I think Rick Rogers is kind of the guy that can still hang with the dudes. It's the side of President Obama that still goes out to the courtyard for a cigarette now and then, you know, just to let the stress out. So what do you think about that? Kind of like a alter ego type situation.
Well, I would like to say that smoking is bad. It kills. So don't smoke, kids, if you're listening. But I do think, yeah, maybe there should be a Rick Nick alter ego. I mean, even on my Twitter handle, my name is Nick Rogers, but the handle is Rick Rogers. So even then, I'm kind of undecided. But I definitely think Rick is a different person than Nick. That's for sure. I just don't know what they would be like. But I guess if they're, you know, President Barack Obama and Baller Barack Obama, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like Obama that like shoots threes with Steph Curry.
Yeah, that guy. That's Rick Rogers. Really? That's definitely the cool guy. And speaking of top cities around the U.S., Not Set, 6 listens. Wow, I love going to Not Set when you can. In the summer, it's just perfect weather, and in the fall, the colors are, oh, it's beautiful. Denver represent, thanks to Luke and Brandon. Detroit, Philadelphia, Santee, I don't know where that is. Tacoma, I believe, is Duncan. And then Oshkosh, Chicago, Indianapolis, San Marcos, and then Sunnyvale, Eugene, New York, Portland, and Seattle, all with one listen. So good job, people in Eugene, listening. That's awesome.
Shout out our listeners, man.
Oh, boy. All right. You got another thing, or are we good for matchups?
Yeah, let's do this one just real quick. Okay, so this is a kind of a crazy idea. I had this idea, like, just kind of a crazy rule that you could use, like, in a fantasy league. It's probably would never be practical, but it's just this crazy idea I had. So I've started to get really upset. I keep having players get injured, like, in the first half of games. So I have them in my lineup. You know, it happened with me, like, with Keenan Allen week one. I ended up losing by, like, 8 points, and he easily could have – I mean, he had, like, 7 catches in the first half. He easily could have maybe got me that win if he didn't get hurt in the first half. This past week, I only lost by 1.8 Kronik, and I feel like part of that is because Steve Smith Sr. got hurt in, like, the second quarter of his game. I imagine he could have gotten, like, 2 catches in the second half to give me the win. But my idea was you have this rule where you basically have, like, one bench player designated as a substitute. So if you say your player got hurt, like, in the second quarter, whatever, and like if that player didn't return for your substitute, whatever points they put up in the third and fourth quarter, that gets tacked onto your team. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, but this also sounds like you asking for rules that just benefit you, like with Kenyon Drake. Like, this just sounds like this benefits me only. Like, what if Fronik, I mean, did Fronik have any injuries that would have cost him or given him extra points that you still would have lost?
No, dude. When I lose, it's because of bad luck. And, you know, like the week that I won, obviously there was no luck. It was more just because I like did well. You know what I mean?
Okay. I don't know. I get the rule, but
let's
no.
Move on to
like,
the matchup.
You set the lineup, that's your lineup. Like if you get screwed, you get screwed.
All right. Move on.
So our first matchup this week is the birthday boy, Jared. He's up against Vronik. Jared moved to 4-1 by beating me last week with a just pretty okay 117 points. Calamari Cooper crushed me. He just got enough from everyone else to get past me for the win. Vronik, you took on Jordan. You escaped with a two-point win. Carlos Hyde matched David Johnson on Thursday. Devontae Freeman and Jalen Richard both got scores pretty much matched each other. A really even matchup all the way around that really came down to Cameron Brate. Probably because I stuck an extra R in Brammerin. This week's matchup is very light on bye weeks, and oh boy, does Jared have some favorable matchups against Frone. So, Jordan, what's your view on this from the Swamps?
Yeah. I mean, you were mentioning the matchups for Jared. That's like, man, that's the big thing for me. So, yeah, I had two things about this. So, I'm assuming you know the worst passing defense in the league?
That is the worst passing defense?
Yeah.
Is it the Jets?
No.
No.
You won't believe it. The Atlanta Falcons, 32nd in the league.
Let's go Falcons.
Fantasy. So, yeah, they have – the only time that they've allowed under 25 fantasy points to a quarterback was last week, which was against Paxton Lynch, first-round pick, extraordinaire rookie. Obviously, he was super not ready to get in there and start in a big game like that. Other than that, they've given up – 25 plus every other game. Jared has Russell Wilson going against Atlanta this week. And I think another matchup that's just going to really swing this game towards Jared is he's got C.J. Anderson going against San Diego's run D. San Diego's run D is 31st in the league, and this is the numbers they've given up rushing week to week so far. They gave up 34.7. These are fantasy points. 34.7 fantasy points, 17.7. 26.3, 43.2, and 29.3.
Jesus.
The week that they gave up 17.7, it was against Jacksonville, who, like, doesn't even run the ball at all.
Yeah.
They throw the ball every single time. So the fact that they got 17.7 is a miracle itself. So, I mean, I just, if that holds at all, C.J. Anderson's going to have a monster week.
Yeah, I was looking at the receiver matchups mostly for both teams in this game, and I think between the six receivers, you could easily see over 100 points combined. Cole Beasley really being the one that may or may not put up points, but Amari Cooper against Kansas City's defense, he's the number one target. He's going to get looks. Jordan Matthews against Washington, that's a pretty solid matchup. Cole Beasley again, the meh. Kelvin Benjamin against New Orleans.
Cole Beasley what?
Cole Beasley, I mean, may or may not put up points against Green Bay. Like,
okay.
Like he's like a wide receiver three in Dallas's offense, and they're just going to run the ball, basically.
Yeah, who knows?
Right. Kelvin Benjamin against New Orleans defense. Oh, boy. John Brown, even as a number two option against the Jets, is a great matchup. And Michael Crabtree as well has been Derek Carr's probably number one target, like favorite target to throw to this season. So you get both Oakland wide receivers matched up against each other this week. And I really think that, I mean, these wide receivers are going to, like, they're going to be the anchors on this team that lead them to the win.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I agree. I still think Jared's receivers are better. I'm not hating on Vronik's team because he played really well against me. Crabtree, I'm probably still underrating. But it's just like, I don't know. He just doesn't have that one amazing guy. I think Kelvin against New Orleans could put up huge points. I probably shouldn't discount going against New Orleans. But
yeah,
I don't know. I guess Amari versus Crabtree is going to be a big time, kind of a big time deciding factor. I mean, even last week with Crabtree had a good game, but Amari had 138 yards. I still think he's the number one. Crabtree is a good receiver, but Amari and Carr is still the connection to look at. A couple things I had written down for Vronik's team that I thought was interesting. So I'm sure you probably had an idea that this was a fact, but so I was looking. Devontae Freeman right now is the 8th ranked running back in fantasy, and Tevin Coleman is 7th. So I thought that was pretty crazy. Just have two guys up in the top 10. I feel like, I don't know, something's got to give, and there's no way that's going to keep up all season, right? You can't have two top 10 running backs from the same team.
No.
Or
Well, Freeman's been getting all of the rushes, and then Coleman has been taking advantage, being the passing down back, and it just so happens that basically every down is a passing down for the Falcons. I mean, Devontae Freeman can catch, but when you want to run the ball, it's Freeman, and he gets his chunks of, you know, 4 or 5 yards at a time, and then you bring in Coleman, and he's like a deep threat out of the backfield. It's like they'll throw him on a wheel route, and he'll just boom 40 yards like that. Neither of these guys staying in the top 10 is going to happen, and I don't like Devontae Freeman as a runner against Seattle, and I mean, I also equally don't like Tevin Coleman, even though I think he's been playing a lot better as the season has gone on. But there's, yeah, like you said, there's no way you can keep this up where both guys are going to be top 10. Eventually someone is going to get hurt and take over, and then that guy is going to be basically what happened to Devontae last year. Is he'll turn into a top five back for the season because there will only be one guy back there getting the ball.
I think it'll definitely shift towards one guy one way or another, and that could be Freeman. I was just kind of bringing up, I mean, it's just not sustainable to have both guys in the top 10 unless they literally convert Coleman to a wide receiver, since they have no wide receiver opposite Julio Jones. But, I mean, Sanu's fine. But
yeah, Sanu's okay, but you're not going to turn Coleman into a wide receiver. Like, that won't happen.
No. My other thing for Fronick, so he's got Panthers D going against New Orleans. Obviously, high-powered offense there. Panthers D, obviously, has been kind of a big part of why the Panthers have been so disappointing on the season. They have, over the last 3 weeks, they've forced one turnover. And last year, obviously, they were playing a lot better. Throughout the year, they forced 39 total turnovers, which is like 2.5 a game. So, you know, on last year's pace, they would have forced 7 turnovers over, you know, a normal 3 week stretch, but it's only been 1 over the last 3, and you're going against a high powered offense. You're going to give up points. I think it's interesting. I don't know if I was Fronick, I would probably try to find a different option, especially going against New Orleans.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I was looking at the defense on the other side of Jared's team. He's got C.J. Anderson of the Broncos against his Chargers, and I'm just wondering if he's actually going to be able to physically survive his fantasy team essentially crushing the hopes of his Chargers in primetime while he's watching and just realizing that the Dodgers are going to lose in the playoffs, the Chargers are going to lose on primetime, but is it really worth that, you know, those solid fantasy points that those two teams are going to get? And I just don't think he'll be able to really handle that.
He'll end up starting both of his players.
Obviously he's not going to sit them, but I mean, there's still the emotional side of things that I'm sure he's taking into account.
I feel like Jared is just wishing that Vegas stadium deal that just got made for the Raiders was just for the Chargers instead. So he could kind of just get over it, quit torturing himself on Sundays. It'd be a good excuse for him to make more trips out to Vegas, you know? Yeah. I feel like he's just wishing they were moving to Vegas at this point.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I didn't think of that. My keys to this one, I already said the wide receivers are going to put up points. This one for me comes down to the running backs and Devontae Freeman against the Sea Chickens and Carlos Hyde against Buffalo's defense. To me, those are not great, very favorable matchups, and I think Gurley against Detroit, C.J. Anderson, San Diego are going to get way more points. Just the matchups say that way. They're guys that they get fed the ball. And ultimately, I think that's why Jared pulls out the win this week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a high-scoring matchup. I think it'll be 130-something to, you know, probably 120-something, along those lines. I mean, both teams are going to put up points. So it was hard to pick. I mean, both teams have been really good so far this year. I got Jared by about 7 or 8 points here. Just like his matchups a little bit better. I just think his receivers are going to come through. Like you're saying, that's going to be a key. I hate that Fronick is starting Darren Sproles in the flex. I hate that he's starting Panthers D. Other than Cole Beasley, I don't think Jared has too much of a weak spot. And even Cole Beasley is a decent option for a bye week type of player. So, I got Jared by about 7 in this one.
Yeah, another thing I just thought up was last week Tim said that Fronick's team was really coming together as kind of a whole, you know, cohesive unit that's just getting stronger, especially with Gronk coming back. And then I said that I really like Jared's team. So Both teams tied for second at 4-1, battling it out. Should be a fun matchup to pay attention to if your matchup is not great. Next up, we have Austin versus Tim. Austin struggled in his first week with Brady back. And not that Brady was bad, but his team was a bit shocked to see him in the lineup. Didn't really perform. 0 from Victor Cruz, 1 from Jeremy Hill, 0 from the Texans D was rough on him, I'm sure. Tim was on the back end of a week high score that wasn't really much more you can ask from your team just to put up points. Other than Matt Jones having a bad week and picking up OSU legend and former Falcon Jaquiz Rogers, that's about the only bad lineup move switch kind of swap he could have made. It's looking like a tough week, tough luck week for Austin. No Stephon Diggs on the bye. He's also questionable. Questionables from running back Jeremy Hill. Troublesome for Austin. Brandon Cooks hasn't been added into his lineup the last time I checked, so that's obviously going to help his projections. And Tim might be in the tough spot as well with newly acquired Theo Riddick against the Rams defense, while also the Lions having signed Forsett, who he still has on his roster. But Jordan, what are you seeing here?
Yeah, I mean, this week, I don't know, just trying to look over this matchup. Yeah, Austin's team obviously is pretty beat up. I mean, he really needs Doug Martin to come back. He really needs Deion Lewis to come back. I mean, ideally, you wouldn't be starting Jeremy Hill. Ryan Matthews isn't the worst start ever, but I still, like, that's just not an exciting running back, especially if he's, you know, the best one out there. Fozzie Whitaker, it's just not going to be a great week for him, I don't think. I mean, they got Jay Stu coming back. Yeah, like you're saying, Austin's pretty beat up. Tom Brady could have a good week. I mean, the Patriots over-under is tied for the highest of the week, and the Patriots are -9.5 in that game. So, I mean, using that logic, obviously New England should put up a lot of points, even against a decent Cincinnati defense. But, I mean, Austin had Brady go off last week, and it didn't really make enough of a difference just because his team is kind of depleted. Yeah. The only way that he can stay in it, I mean, he needs Jordan Reed to play this week, but Reed is apparently being tested for a concussion. Even with Jordan Reed, he was going to have a tough go at it this week. And if he sits, I don't think he's going to have a great shot at it. On the flip side, I mean, Tim, I like his wide receiver matchups. And his running back matchups are so-so, but I just like both of those running backs better as players, McCoy and Riddick. I like those just straight up over Jeremy Hill and Ryan Matthews, regardless what the matchup is. Antonio Brown versus the Miami defense could be huge. Miami's just been straight up terrible this year. They could easily be the worst team in the league. So, I mean,
worse than the Browns?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. Oof. No, but I don't know. They're not much better. Watching them has been pretty rough. I've caught them in a couple of games, and I don't know. They're not going to win more than 4 or 5 games for sure.
That might be 4 or 5 more than the Browns, though.
That's a good point. Have the Browns really not won yet?
They are, yeah, they're the only winless team, I think.
Wow, that's rough. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be, like I said, I like Tim's wide receiver matchups. I think the key for him, he needs Alshon Jeffery to have a big game against Jacksonville. Obviously, like, you're going to have potential to score against Jacksonville. Their defense is pretty so-so, and it could be kind of a shootout-type game, I think, especially with Hoyer playing well. But, I mean, Jeffrey's been kind of disappointing, so Tim's going to need Jeffery to put up some points. He's going to need Chris Hogan to have kind of the same rapport with Brady that he showed in Brady's first week back. Steelers D against Miami is a pretty good play. I don't know. I think Austin's team is just too beat up to really have a shot. And I think Tim's team is solid enough that, I don't know, as long as he doesn't have disappointing weeks out of all of his players, I see him winning this one pretty big.
Yeah, a couple thoughts. First, on Austin's team, Cruz is a liability, and this is where you really start to see Austin's depth hurting from that auto draft. I mean, where he took a second and third quarterback and a second and third defense is really where he needed to build depth to his team. And basically, going into the season, he needed everybody to stay healthy. And even with bye weeks that are bad with Martin and Diggs, he still needs, I mean, Corey Coleman breaking his hand is a tough break as well. He really needed guys to stay healthy that are going to get targets. And Cruz, I think with Shepard and Odell, the way they've come together, he's kind of a forgotten third target. I mean, even like Will Ty is getting targets out there. And then for Tim's team, you spent $12 on Brandon LaFell. I mean, I think Scott even thinks that's like $12 too many for Brandon LaFell. He's somehow maybe like a number 2-3 option in Cincinnati. But I mean, that offense goes through A.J. Green and then A.J. Green and then A.J. Green and then the running backs and then A.J. Green again. And then at his flex spot, Chris Hogan, I get that, you know, he had a couple big receptions, 4 for 114 last week is a pretty big week. Cincinnati's defense is a lot tougher than the Browns defense. And while Brady's going to be moving the ball around, I don't like that one too much. I would think maybe splitting carries with Riddick and Forsett. I would keep an eye on that to see what's going to happen. So that's kind of tough there, but yeah, Austin's team is lacking depth and they're too beat up. So I think Tim pulls out the win in this one as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I totally agree. I don't think Riddick is actually going to split carries with Forsett. I mean, they just brought him in and maybe he'll get 5 or 6 carries, but like Riddick is going to get most of the work especially as a receiver and probably as a runner as well. I got Tim by like 15 or 20 this week. I just think he's going to win big.
All right. And now our final matchup of the week, Jordan, last week, you lost by 2, probably could have snuck away the win if you had just started the ginger god, Randy Dalton. This week you're matched up against Scott. We were hoping Scott would be on the pod earlier and then we would have you on and we could have you guys kind of do like a back and forth on each other's teams just to see what you thought about that. Instead, I pretty much hand it over to you and what you see in this matchup. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, well, first of all, I got a couple hot takes about Scott's team. Here we go. These are about to be fire. These are about to be ghost pepper level hot takes. That's like the newest flavor of Buffalo Wild Wings. Shout out Buffalo Wild Wings, future sponsor.
I saw a ghost pepper today. Someone brought them in. Someone brought in jalapeno peppers and then a ghost pepper, and they said, "Warning: the ghost pepper is the third hottest pepper in the world. Please do not touch it with your bare hand."
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so these are my ghost pepper takes of the week on Scott's team. Actually, I have some ghost pepper takes of the week about your matchup against Luke, but we'll get to that when we're done with this. All right. Take number one. Scott's team is like a Samsung Galaxy Note 7. It's very hot and liable to blow up any given week.
Okay.
Take number two, pretty solid, right? Take two, Scott's team is also like one of those plastic kiddie pools you buy at Walmart because it's not very deep and it's probably going to fall apart sooner rather than later.
Oh, okay.
So those are my ghost pepper takes of the week.
All right.
Buffalo Wild Wings, they paid us a lot of money for that.
Wings, beer, sports. Segment.
It's in the game, Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's not the right segment.
Okay. Anyways, matchup, huh?
Yeah, look at
So,
I mean, you picked up Tyrod Taylor, really?
Dude, I wasn't going to start Eli Manning again. Did you watch that game? It's so terrible, dude. I really thought he was.
Why did you draft Eli Manning and Andy Dalton? Like, you put yourself in probably the second worst quarterback spot behind Pip, who drafted Tyrod Taylor to be a starter.
And dropped him. And now I'm starting him.
And you paid $4 for him. Like, Pip didn't even pay money to get Tyrod Taylor.
I know, but I had to make sure I got him because if it wasn't Tyrod Taylor, I was going to be starting, like, Arsweiler this week. Maybe Alex Smith would have been a good option, but I don't know, man. I'm just taking a long shot. They're playing against San Francisco. San Francisco's been pretty mediocre so far this year, so I know they had a decent week on defense last week against the pass, but that's because they were playing against Drew Stanton, who could do absolutely nothing. I don't know. I'm just banking on Tyrod. He's kind of boom or bust, but that's really the only option I have. I don't like Andy Dalton at New England. I don't feel like that's a good start. So I'm just taking my chances on Tyrod versus what's been a subpar defense so far. I don't know. I like my team this week. I haven't even looked too much into the matchups of me and Scott's matchup here, but David Johnson is, you know, he's a consensus top 2 fantasy running back. He's going to keep getting touches until Palmer's healthy, and honestly, they should keep getting him, as many touches as he got last game, even when Palmer is healthy. I think it was his first game going over 20 carries, and He got 32 fantasy points. He got 27 carries, which is, I mean, that's the kind of workload they should be giving him because he's the best player on that offense. Obviously, Larry Fitz is having a good year, but they need to feed him the ball. Terrence West, I already kind of talked about the reasons I like him. I think Demaryius is going to eat at San Diego. That should be a big week. I really think that the big thing for me, if I want to have any chance of winning, I need Dez Bryant to play. He's kind of 50-50 right now. If I'm not playing Dez Bryant, I'm playing Steve Smith, who's injured and might not play, or I could play Philip Dorsett, or I could play Jalen Richard, and I don't want to do any of those things. So I really need Dez to be healthy if I want any shot against Scott. I think Scott's going to have a big week. I mean, he's been having big weeks all year. His wide receiver three, he keeps switching Kenny Britt and Travis Benjamin out. Who knows what he's going to do? But other than that wide receiver three spot, I mean, I love all of his other players. Carr should probably have another good week because he's had good weeks every week so far this year. Scott's running backs are insanely good. Lamar Miller will probably have a big week this week. DeMarco Murray is definitely going to have a big week this week because they're playing Cleveland. The one thing I do have going for me is that he's got Vikings defense on a bye, and I don't trust Scott to pick up a defense that does well. Scott's made like one or two ad drops all season so far. I don't know if you saw, but shout out to Scott. Congratulations. He put in his second free agent bid yesterday of the entire season. Number one was Fedorowicz, and number two, he tried to pick up Titans defense by bidding one whole dollar, even though he already has $95 left of his budget. He was tied with Luke, and Luke got the tiebreaker. So he's trying out there. We'll see who he picks up, though. I don't know. What do you think about the matchup?
Yeah, I just wanted to say quickly on the free agent budget. Luke is – where'd he go? Down to $32. He is the lowest, followed up at 52 by Tim, 57 for you, Jordan, 56 for Brandon, 60 for Fronik. Jared's got $92, classically not adding or dropping anybody, just going with his drafted team. Scott, yeah, like you said, he spent five. I'm at 77. McNairbud is at $72. Andrew at 87. So really, everybody's kind of been spending their money okay. I'm going to talk to Luke for sure about his $36 pickup of Jace 2. I thought that was a lot. Back to the matchups. Demaryius is a toss-up for me. I think he's going to get his points. I don't think he's going to have a huge week against the Chargers, mostly because I think Emmanuel Sanders is slowly kind of turning into a favored target for both Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian. I think Lynch favored him a little bit more last week. I know he's been getting less deep targets and a lot of kind of in-between routes that, you know, safer routes to just get him the ball. Yeah, looking at Scott's team, I did like the kiddie pool take. That was very new and original. Golden Tate against the Rams defense is kind of tough, but Willie Snead could kind of blow up against Carolina's defense. Isn't that great? You really need Dez Bryant to play for sure. I wish I had prepped on this matchup a little bit more. I don't know. This is a tough one. This one, I think, is you've got enough good matchups where your team at 1-4 could possibly take down Scott here and move him to 5-1.
You think so?
Yeah. I think Marvin Jones, again, the Rams defense is tough, but they are at home. Will Fuller against Indianapolis, I think, could get you some decent catches or maybe like a 30-yard touchdown, that kind of play. Your running backs could do pretty well, although the Giants defense is pretty tough against running backs. They weren't too bad on Lacy and Starks last week. But yeah, Lamar Miller and DeMarco Murray are going to have big weeks. Derek Carr is going to have a big week. It's going to be a tight one, I think. I think maybe Golden Tate in there instead of Willie Snead might be Scott's next best move. But definitely don't play Travis Benjamin against the Denver defense because I don't think the Chargers are going to have a very good night.
Yeah, that's obviously a tough matchup. My prediction is I'm probably going to lose in a heartbreaking fashion. There's going to be a couple of, you know, decisions I made that come back to haunt me and that I can kind of think about for the, you know, next few days following my loss. as I slink down to 1-5, I'm sure that I'll make the wrong starts and all that. Yeah, I'd probably end my season here.
Wow. You're five. It would be through 6 weeks, you'd be done, huh?
Yeah. No, it's fine. I was just talking to somebody about, I mean, technically the sixth place team in our league is only at 2-3 right now. So everybody's still kind of in it. Hopefully everybody keeps, you know, pressing hard because the playoffs aren't really out of reach for anybody yet. But yeah, I mean, I see Scott winning this matchup. I don't really know how it's going to go, but his team is too good to bet against right now. So I got to just pick him.
Yeah, I would be the sixth team in right now in the playoffs at 2-3.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the best 2-3 team out there represent. All right, thanks so much, yeah. Jordan, for being on. Appreciate the ghost pepper
Hold
takes.
Up, Rick.
Oh boy, what do you got?
Remember I told you so everybody knows, Rick. So Scott had to back out. Basically, I had to switch all the matchups I was talking about. So I had some ghost pepper takes for Luke and Rick's matchup. Mind if I read those off real quick here, Rick?
All right, make it snappy.
I know, we're running high on time here, but all right. So just this is a take on Luke's team. You know how every time that you get a trade offer sent to you, it sends you an email notifying you about the trade?
Right.
All right, that's just kind of a preface here. So I said, Luke's team is like Hillary Clinton because he's responsible for a lot of emails, and in them you might not like what you see.
Okay, that's all right.
And Rick, my ghost pepper take on Rick, it was okay. It was more than all right. It was topical, you know. It was edgy. My ghost pepper take for Rick, as a team manager, you're like Donald Trump because you understand that concussions are made up, so you're starting Cam despite the fact that he has like 6 concussions already this year.
All right. That one,
is that good
right.
enough?
Yeah, that one is very topical and very current. That's a good current reference.
Yeah, that's like today, dude. That's today.
That's fire.
Real quick, one last comment here. Now that we've officially made the transition into being a political podcast, just a quick question for you. What do you think the over-under is on write-in votes for Ken Bone come November? I think he's going to get over 1.5% of the majority vote. What do you think? Ken Bone 2016. What do you got?
Well, I'd just like to preface that we do not pay for advertisements on this podcast. We do not. We try and give equal airtime to as many political candidates as we can. But I will take the under on the Ken Bone political total.
Well, I'm just going to say right now, the semi-pro ducks officially endorse.
As the runner of the semi-pro ducks fantasy football podcast, I rescind that comment, and this will not make the cut.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for having me on, Rick.
And filling in for the unbeaten Scott, who was a late scratch. I think he had to feed his cats or something like that. Stepping in is Luke. How you doing, Luke?
I'm great, Rick. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Let's jump right into the matchups. At the opposite end of the standings from Scott are Pip and Andrew. Pip is the newly named McNairbud, hoping to that a short name would mean big points. But it ultimately led to a 0-5 start. McNairbud actually had a pretty solid week with 112. That is a season high for him. Meanwhile, Andrew's wide receivers are struggling and looking pretty terrible. The saving grace was a late DeAndre Hopkins touchdown for a grand total of 19 points from the tree. It's almost impressive that he's gotten a 0-1, 0.9, and 5 from his three receivers over the last 2 weeks. While once again having a lot of points on his bench from Zach Miller and Hunter Henry that outmatched and outscored Jay Ajayi at his flex. This week, Pip has been making a lot of moves, even though he's 0-5, just trading this morning from the Raiders, the lead back, Latavius Murray. Also trading again with Tim, getting Matt Jones and Sammy Coates for Theo Riddick, previously traded Charles Sims for Jameson Clam Chowder. Special announcement, our team name theme for the next season will be Flued. Please start planning accordingly. I already have dibs on Honey Funches of Oats unless I think of something better, which I probably will. So that one's up for grabs. So before the matchups, what did you think of that trade that Tim and Pip made this morning?
Yeah, I was going to say, we got to talk about all these trades that Pip made. what was the first one? Oh, yeah, with Tim. Well, I think I pretty much see Theo and Matt Jones as a wash. So I like Pip's side more because he just got Coates for free, I feel like, and he just gets to throw him in as wide receiver three. And then his Ware and Murray one with Brandon, I thought made sense for both teams. Brandon obviously needs to Ware because he has Jamal Charles. And then your trade with Pip was pretty interesting. It makes sense for you again where you have Lacy and you need Starks. But I'm a big fan of Derrick Henry, so.
Yeah.
That one's kind of hard for me to see you do that, but hopefully I can get Henry from Pip.
Yeah, he was saying that he should probably try and trade him to Scott, but I don't know if he's going to do that. The thing with Henry is I've just been sitting onto him, and he caps out at 5.4 points. Like, he gets 54 yards on his carries. He's like, all right, coach, I'm done. Like, I'm going to get tired. Like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, that's fair. I just feel like with Murray's history of getting injured, it's worth to hold on. But, yeah, Scott should definitely try to aggressively trade for him.
Yeah. Back to the matchup then. Andrew is at 1-4. He has broken 100 points twice, doing it for the second time last week by 0.8 of a point. His saving grace was a week 2 performance. He scored 120, given a minus 6 from the Raiders defense. Matt Forte went for 30. And Luke, you got less than 15 from all three of your wide receivers. All that said, Pip is favored in this matchup. Excuse me again. For what I'm calling this season's toilet bowl, Luke, I'm sorry you kind of got stuck with this one that I felt sorry I gave to Scott. What do you see happening in this matchup?
I have toilet bowl written in my notes as well, so we're on the same page.
Attaboy.
I think usually some people have records that aren't as good as their teams are, vice versa, but I think both these teams have bad records and also have pretty bad teams. So the true toilet bowl here. I do like Pips more this week, I think. His quarterback situation isn't great. How Bortles and just that whole Jags team has been really bad, even with, I think they've played 3 home games already. But and then Ingram is as steady as he always is. And then besides that, the rest of his team is pretty scary. Jarvis Landry is, I think, has like the 3rd most targets in the NFL, but last week was a little bit scary, and that whole offense has been so bad with Tannehill looking as useless as ever. And then Cobb finally had a big game. I guess that was his first even decent game.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can keep things going after the bye week with Rodgers. And Coates looks like he hurt his hand, but if he plays, I think he's going to have another deep ball because that's pretty much all he can catch. Pitta, not too crazy about him, but he's a fine tight end. And then Hearns has been another disappointment. And then, yeah, his bench, not crazy about it, but hopefully he can get Foster back at some point so he can have a decent flex.
Yeah, I'm looking. Oh, go ahead.
You can go.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, Latavius Murray, Aaron Foster, both coming back from practicing after missing 1 and 3 weeks for each of them. It just adds to a little bit more depth than Andrew has. I just kind of like that he has the ability to kind of plug them in there if he wants to. If he doesn't like a receiver matchup, he can switch him out with Hearns, who I think could have, it could be a shootout in Chicago for Jacksonville. And I did like when he had Starks because it looked like Starks might take over for Lacy, but now it's looking like they're both injured, so that's pretty funky. And then looking at Andrew's team, I have to ask again, like, why are you not playing Zach Miller? Like, you have left 43 points from him on your bench the last 3 weeks because you don't play him. Like, for the love of God, like, you're upsetting me leaving so many points on your bench and I'm not even playing you. I mean, if Foster does come back and play, that's bad for JHIAG. And I think you have to get Zach Miller in there and over JHI. I don't know. This is very frustrating looking at how bad his receivers have been and knowing that he's leaving so many points on his bench by not going with the 2 wide receiver setup that Scott's gone with.
2 tight end. Yeah.
Two tight end.
I got that in my notes too, where, I mean, it's pretty clear that Brian Hoyer loves throwing to Zach Miller. I think he's been like the tight end 2 or 3 since Hoyer's been in. And it would make sense if he had like an awesome flex, but he's playing J-H-I-E. So, and I don't really know how to defend it for him. I think he's got to play him this week, and Jacksonville's not particularly good defense. And then his before the season, I liked Andrews' wide receivers, but they're all been. You could argue like three of the biggest disappointments of all wide receivers. With Floyd has been terrible, even when Palmer plays. DeSean Jackson's been. I mean, he's always up and down, but he's particularly so this year. And he's got a really tough schedule coming up. He's got Philly, and then at Detroit, at Cincinnati, bye week, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Dallas. So,
woof.
It's not going to get much easier for him. And then I'm incredibly surprised about DeAndre Hopkins, how bad him and Arsweiler have looked together. I thought he was only good at the deep ball, but apparently that's the only thing he's not good at. And then as far as his running backs, I mean, he has Forte and Powell, which looks good on paper, but it looks like it's turning into more of a committee where they're just cutting each other's carries. So it's kind of worst case scenario for Andrew. And his quarterback situation this week is pretty worst case, where his quarterbacks are playing against two of the best teams in the league, with Rivers against Denver on a short week, and then Cousins against Philly. So
yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to go with Pip on this one, even though this team's not great, but hopefully he gets that first win.
Yeah, I think Andrew's receivers can really only have better weeks. You can only go up from zero unless you start fumbling the ball. But assuming Pip starts the right guys, obviously it sounds like the crappiest hot take ever. Yeah, start the guys that you think are going to get the most points. But if Pip doesn't overthink this and he plays the guys, he's loaded at 10 o'clock starts. He's got Cairo Santos and Randall Cobb are the only guys playing in the afternoon. So he's loaded 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to make the right starts for guys that he thinks are going to play. Especially if Latavius Murray plays. Like, I think Murray plugging him in for Jones, if he knows early enough in the morning, I think getting Murray in there could be pretty key. But yeah, Pip's team, slightly less crap this week than Andrew's, who is really not a great team. One really blow up week away from being 0-5 as well. So yeah, Pip gets the win, and that one, glad we're both on the same page there. Next up on the schedule, we have Duncan versus Brandan. Duncan put up a massive 141 last week. Ezekiel Elliott is looking everything like the first round fantasy and in real life pick he was, with a 30 spot. The Jordan Howard draft and stash now makes him look like a genius. And late fumble aside, RIP and peace to the Chargers. Melvin Gordon looks pretty good too. Brandan got the big week I expected from Larry Fitz, and the exact opposite of what I expected from Martellus Bennett, both with over 25. Tevin Coleman is playing like an RB1 for not only Silence of the Michael Sam, but as well for the Falcons. However, this week is a totally different manner. No buys in this matchup, surprisingly. Brandan is working with a lot of injuries. Big Dick Decker now on the IR. Charles and Palmers are back from their injuries, and Rashard Jennings is still questionable with a thumb injury. And the Seahawks are back, so Duncan's team gets a little boost as well. But what do you see looking through the looking glass, Luke?
Yeah, Duncan's definitely been probably the surprise team of the year. He's got three really solid running backs now. I think it's probably even money now that Ezekiel Elliott's going to lead the NFL in rushing yards. And then Jordan Howard's been amazing. Not surprisingly, overtook Langford, like I've been saying all year. Sorry, Jordan. And then Melvin Gordon's just been scoring touchdowns at a crazy rate. Probably pretty unsustainable, but still, nonetheless, he has no competition in San Diego, so he's going to be the guy no matter what.
Right.
But he's got a tough matchup with Denver. They haven't been as great against the run as they have in the past, but still on a short week. Tough week, tough matchup there. And then hopefully Andrew Luck can make it through this season the way that offensive line is playing. Pretty average matchup with Houston and no J.J. Watt. And then with the receivers, Aaron Rodgers obviously loves Jordan Nelson, as he has scored a touchdown every single week. Besides that, there's not much there for Duncan, with Baldwin, Parker, Mike Wallace, Sanu, Boyd, and Curley on his bench. I guess he's got one running back on his bench, but very wide receiver heavy and still only has one good one. So those are a little bit cause for concern for Duncan, and that he really needs Eifert back because Dwayne Allen has been just terrible. Thank God he didn't accept any of those trades I sent him in the preseason. I sent him so many. And looking over at Brandon's team, I still love his receivers, which is crazy, with even with Big Dick Decker after the season, RIP in peace. His running backs, even with all these injuries, he's still super deep with Coleman, Blunt, Charles, and Jennings, and now Ware. Kind of similar to Andrew's situation now with Charles and Ware, where if they're both healthy, it's, you think it would be great, but they're kind of just going to be cutting into each other's time. So
right.
It might actually not be better if one of them is just hurt for the season. And then his quarterbacks, I can't believe how bad Carson Palmer's been this year. I think he's getting Jake DeLone with that terrible playoff loss, and now his career might be over. And then he's got Joe Flacid in right now. I don't know if he means to do that or not. But and then, yeah, I'm on the same page with you, where I cannot believe what Martellus Bennett did last week with 3 touchdowns and even with Gronk back. So we'll see if he can sustain that, but I probably wouldn't bet on it. But Brandon's a big fan of his, so we'll see.
Yeah, I could imagine him being a big Bellett fan. 6 receptions for 3 touchdowns is a pretty solid rate. For me, this comes down to the Falcons-Seahawks game. I obviously, with so many Seahawks being involved for Duncan and then Tevin Coleman being on the other side of that matchup as well, can the Falcons shut down 2 pretty solid offenses 2 weeks in a row on the road? The Seahawks coming off the bye week. Last week they shut down Sanders and Thomas pretty well. Can they do that again with Baldwin and Graham? Is the Seahawks defense going to be able to stop all of the weapons that the Falcons have at home? That the crowd gets loud. The defense is pretty solid. But I mean, we frown on defenses. They're still really important matchups and parts of the team. So, I mean, the Falcons' best offense in the NFL, somehow they're really rolling. Second week on the road, they did stay out west. So, like, the time issue shouldn't be too big of a deal. But I think that's going to be really interesting to see what happens, because if Doug Baldwin gets shut down, Devontae Parker could easily get shut down. And then if the Falcons offense is rolling, then the Seahawks defense is going to be taking their hits as well. And that leaves basically Steven Hauschka kicking 40, 50-yard field goals, if that. And that could be his really big performer from essentially Jordy Nelson down.
Yeah, that's true. It's always nice also when there's a big player going Monday with Brandon. There's only one on either team that has a guy on Monday. So he's got, well, I guess he could start Palmer too. So if he's got Palmer and Fitz going Monday, he could be down by quite a bit and still have a fighting chance.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do agree. Getting the backup to Jamal Charles and Ware is a good move. But he's really hurting at wide receiver 3. I don't know how much I buy into Terrell Pryor being a solid weapon. I get the Titans defense isn't all that great. So he should be getting his passes and receptions and his rushes in. So he's the triple threat, which means you can't really sit him. Eddie Royal against Jacksonville could be a pretty solid play at flex as well. It's projected to be Duncan by nearly 20. I see this one being a lot closer and maybe Brandon even pulling out a squeaker here.
Yeah, I didn't even look at the projections, but I've got Brandon by a couple points.
Yeah, it's going to be 20. I'm not sure why it's projected by 20. That's pretty, I don't know. It's interesting to me that they value all those guys that Duncan has more than anyone else. So now to our final matchup. It's an interesting one. It's the first time it's happened so far through our 6 episodes when the season has been going. But we get me, the host, taking on a guest. We've never had that happen before, so I'm playing you, Luke. Last week, I put up a league-low 77, Julio, Fuller, and even Norlands Darkwa really struggled, only 6 points between them, and Dak and Calamari Cooper really blew me out of the water to the point where no Jameis performance could really save me on Monday night. While putting up a league-high 144 for the week, Luke had a quiet 20 from Lev Bell, a monster week from T.Y. Hilton and Tyrell Williams, and also Adam Vinatieri was still scoring as well. Looking at this week, the Macklin trade, looking at my team, I feel a lot better about my top 3 wide receivers not having to play 2 rookies each week, Fuller and Michael Thomas. I get Christian Michael back from the bye. I get Scam the Man Cam Newton back from his concussion against the Aints. Julio, a tough defense to go on the road this week. And then the Card defense should have about 5 or 6 interceptions at least against Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Jets. Luke, you're looking at some pretty tough matchups. You do get Jay Stu back, who you bought for $36. I cannot wait to trade for him in a really terrible trade in about 3 weeks. So what are you seeing from our own matchup here, Lucas?
Yeah, first of all, I want to get your thoughts on your thought process on that trade with Jordan. Was that just to get rid of a rookie, or what was that all about?
Well, I explained this with Jordan, who I just talked to, but I'll say it again. I wanted to kind of sell high while I could on Terrence West. I knew Jordan was hurting for an RB2. I like Macklin's matchups this week against Oakland, next week against New Orleans, and then he still has another game against San Diego in there late, as well as a game against Oakland late. I just kind of like the matchups that he had down the season. And then I figured he probably wouldn't do West for Macklin straight up, so I figured if I throw in Fuller, it's a pretty decent receiver with you know, solid upside if you can play him in there. It still fits in his lineup. He kind of the same long ball, boomer bust kind of play as Macklin.
That makes sense. Yeah, I didn't know how nice Macklin's schedule is the rest of the way. That changes things.
Yeah.
But coming back to our matchup. Yeah, thank you, Duncan, for dropping Jay Stu. I spent about $15 too much, but I figured it was worth it. Now I got an automatic RB2 that I can play, especially against New Orleans that he's got. I think he plays him again later. But then, yeah, the matchups aren't great this week. I'm still deciding between who I'm going to start at quarterback. Stafford's been great for me. And I don't know if I can have the balls to play Brian Hoyer in my lineup, but we'll see what happens come Sunday morning. And then my receivers, I didn't know if they're all questionable. I think they're all just getting some rest and they should be fine. But yeah, AJ Green worries me this week, as the Patriots have, as they've done in the past, when a team has pretty much just one player, they're really good at shutting him down. So that actually is really worrying me. But T.Y. has been amazing. And I look for Edelman to hopefully get back on track with Brady. He had a team high in targets last week, so I'm not too worried about his not great day. And then I love the Jimmy Graham matchup against the Falcons, especially coming off a bye week. Hopefully he's a little bit healthier. And then I still have to decide who I'm going to play at flex with either Gio or James White. Still haven't quite decided on that one either. And then you've quite a few questionables as well. It sounds like Lacey's going to play. That's a pretty tough matchup for him, but I really like Christine Michael against your Dirty Birds.
Mm-hmm.
And then Julio, tough matchup, and he's beat up. So that one's a little bit scary. But then Sanders and Macklin both have great matchups. Ertz I like a lot. Not crazy about Michael Thomas, but he's an all right player. And it sounds like Cam's going to play. Is that true?
Yeah, I think he's cleared the concussion protocol, limited practice on Wednesday. I'm not entirely sure. I don't think he's been officially cleared. I think a lot of people were saying he should be good to go, but I was a little bit worried. Jameis Winston on bye, so I can't use him again. That's why I went out and picked up Alex Smith against Oakland this week, and then next week Cam is on bye as well, and then the Chiefs play New Orleans, so I really like that matchup that I can use on the bye. If I don't want to go with Winston against the Niners, but I'm hoping Cam can play, cause he can for sure light up the New Orleans defense, even though it's on the road. But again, if he's not healthy, that's going to be a little bit less than ideal, especially if he has to leave after a quarter or a half or something like that.
Yeah. I was just about to ask you about your 3 quarterback approach, but that makes sense. But yeah. With Cam Newton this week, I mean, it's almost better that Carolina, his defense hasn't been as good as far as fancy goes, so that could be a shootout.
Right.
Which really scares me. But yeah, other than that, it should be a good matchup. I'm hoping Fitzpatrick isn't as horrible as he is. I didn't even think about that Cardinals defense. That could be really scary.
Yeah.
On Monday night. Oh, no.
Yeah, I am excited about that. Cardinals at home against the Jets. I think Fitzpatrick can... I think it could easily be a pick fest, and that could be the saving grace Cardinals with two interceptions last week against the Niners. They picked off Tampa Bay four times the second week of the season, and then at Buffalo gave up a ton of points, but one interception, and then put up four sacks, and that was kind of the saving grace for them. Sack monsters are the Cardinals. Seven last week against San Francisco, four against Buffalo. Really, it's been the sack points that have been coming through and saving me when the defense has given up a lot of yards and points. So I'm pretty excited about how that pick has turned out.
Yeah, the Jets are guaranteed two turnovers, so that's not great.
Yeah, so do you think you'll have the balls to play Brian Hoyer to go with matchup over guy who's been solid for you?
Yeah, I really don't know. The Rams have been so tough against other quarterbacks. Pretty much Rodgers is the one who actually had a really, I guess, Luck had a good game too. So I can't decide, but I'm probably leaning towards Hoyer right now, but it's kind of scares me with the Jags coming off a bye. So, but the Bears have been pretty tough at home, so who knows?
Yeah, and then looking at our receivers, Julio and AJ Green, I think could be a wash either way. Pardon me, warsh.
A what?
A warsh, excuse me. I think Jones and Green could both get shut down, or they could both decide, fuck heavy corners, cover me, just get me the ball, and they could both go off. Sanders against the Chargers and Macklin against Oakland, I love those matchups. T.Y., if Andrew Luck isn't getting sacked the whole time, I think he'll get the ball a lot. And then Edelman has slowly been getting better. He had a bad week a couple weeks ago against Buffalo, but 35 yards last week against Cleveland. So I think that is a troublesome matchup as well. And then the Ertz and Graham tight end saga, that the trade that almost did and then did not happen. What was the other part of that trade? It was Ertz, and it was going to be a 2-for-2, right?
Yeah, I can't remember. I sent so many damn trades back then, so I don't even know.
I don't even think you have the guys on your team that were a part of that trade other than Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, probably not.
Sheesh. All right. Yeah, this one is going to be a tight one. I'm really hoping Cam Newton can play because I think he can get me a ton of points in that one. I'm also really, I guess, rooting for the Patriots, although that doesn't happen very often, to shut down AJ Green. My fail clowns, I hope they can figure out a way. Maybe staying on the West Coast helps them out. I really think this is going to be a tight one. Maybe I can get you by 2 or 3 points if the Cardinals can come through for me on Monday night. But what do you see happening here?
I think it comes down to Cam. I mean, this is a game where Cam could just drop 30. He could have like 2 rushing touchdowns. So I think it comes down to that. But I think I'm going to have to go by me a couple of points. So.
Well, fine. I see how it is then. Be that way. All right. Thanks.
It's a close one.
Yeah, I think it will be tight. Appreciate you coming on at such late notice. We'll have to give Scott crap the next time he comes on for bailing out at like 2 hours before we tape here.
Yeah, I know what he's doing. He sent me Snapchat of him with his cat, so I don't even know what he's doing. Maybe he just pushed out.
Unbelievable. Feed your
literally,
cat, Scott.
Figuratively.
It takes 2 minutes to feed your cat. You can get beyond that. All right, thanks again, Luke, for being on. Appreciate it.
All right, happy birthday, Jared.
That's going to be it for episode 7 of the Semi Products Podcast. Thank you for listening. And if you need more help with your fantasy lineup, listen to Fantasy Football Today, Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on CBS Sports Radio, right here in Eugene on 95.3 The Score, and online at cbssports.com. You guys will be giving out all the latest information on the active inactive list, and of course, all of the important fantasy lineup advice you will need to win your own matchup. Thanks again for listening to the Semi Products Podcast. And good luck to you in your matchup.